Good afternoon. Welcome. Thank you for taking your time joining a session about building an OSD solution from scratch to finish in about 75 minutes. I will do my best to work around the feeling that may be present immediately after lunch. I love questions, and at any given time, feel free to shout out a question or post them through the Twitter feed. I'm monitoring it right here. I will not be able to answer any. No, that's wrong. I won't be able to answer all your questions during the session, but I will make sure to follow up and answer them after the session if I don't be able to do it within the session. My name is Johan. I will be your host for the next 75 minutes. I have been an IT guy since I was about 10, and been doing deployment for about, well, it's a long time, 21 years now. I might have not seen everything, but I've seen a lot. So hopefully I might be able to answer those questions for you. We are going to do three things in this session, and it will be mostly demos. I have about nine slides. We passed two already. Three of them says demo. So not many slides left, is there? But this is the environment that will be used throughout the session. So I have a domain controller up and running, and I have a config manager server up and running, and yes, it is running RTM code, of course. It's been available for some time now, and together with MDT that was announced today, we now have a full complete RTM stuff available to play around with. I'm running this on a Hyper-V3 host, meaning Windows Server 8. No, Server 2012. I learned that this morning. And that allows me to actually quite efficiently run easily 10 VMs at the same time on a laptop, 16 gigs of memory and 1.2 terabytes of solid-state drives on an airplane for about 15 minutes. But it's still pretty cool. A machine like this, and I'm very sorry if there are any managers in this room, this is what you try to get, to be able to quickly have a working lab where you can quickly simulate and test and do stuff without having to wait hours and hours and hours just to test a simple thing without having to test it in production. I would say, even though this is a quite pricey machine, in the long run, it will save you hours and hours and stuff. And the thing that does it, solid-state drives. Get solid-state drives. They are like factor 5, at least, in performance. Not percent, factor 5 for more performance. So that's pretty cool. All right. And my clicker just decided to give up. Here we go. Three pillars. We are going to deploy a system. We are going to create a reference image. And we're going to configure the entire set of what you need to do in Config Manager to get OSD deployment. And this we will do in all these lasting 70 minutes or so. So hydration is a concept of automating builds in a lab. Not spending hours and hours clicking through a setup just to have a config manual platform to play it with. It's about starting a VM and having coffee for about 60 minutes. And when you come back, you have a ready-made platform. So that's the first step we will do. We'll look into hydration. 30 minutes ago, I posted on my blog, Deployment Research, the RTM version of the hydration kit for Config Manager, the RTM version, and it's using MDT 2012 RTM version as well. So this kit works together with both Hyper-V and VMware, and it will build you an entire platform from scratch to finish. So let's take a peek into that. Demo, ta-da. All right. So this is my Hyper-V3 host. And I'm using something you should not. I'm using deduplication on my live drives. You're not supposed to do that. It's for data drives only. But what deduplication gives me when I'm doing lab and tests and demos is, if you look at the file properties here, this is the size. This is the size on disk. What deduplication does for you is taking all your files and treating them like carrots, chopping them into pieces, small pieces, between 30K and 128K in size. And every piece that is the same goes away. The rest stays. And since most of my VMs, I have about 50 on this drive, are similar, many chunks get thrown away. So it's good stuff. Not supported, but good stuff. So this is a normal MDT 2012 deployment chair. In this deployment chair, I have added in applications. So for example, I have added in an app that will install Config Manager and all the versions of SQL it requires. Normal setup, scripts that is running the automated setup for Config Manager, for example. So when you download this kit, what you get is a zip file. It's about half meg. Not terabyte, it's about half meg in size. It's just an empty folder structure. And it looks like this. So after you download it, you get the folder structure here. The only thing you need to do is start copying in your media into it. So you will go into the applications folder, you will find config manager, you will find the source folder, and this is where you will copy the ISO, the content of the ISO from config manager in here. You do the same thing with, for example, .NET framework. You copy in .NET framework. You do the same thing with SQL. You go into the SQL folder, you copy in SQL. And you continue to do this until you have filled all the empty folders with media. Could be trial media, it could be RTM, you know, full license media. Both has been tested and work. You also add in a few operating systems. In this case, I have only one. I've added in the server media as well. So in there, in here, you simply copy your WIM file from your server ISO in here. So it's just an empty folder structure. You fill it with content. The way this works is that I'm using the offline media function of MDT to generate an ISO. It's going to be a big ISO, about 10 gig in size. That ISO I'm using to mount my VMs. So these applications, for example, if I go to the Config Manager app, this is just the VB script driving the Config Manager installation. And if I open up that VB script, you can see I'm simply calling the setup, and I'm telling setup to run with this ini file. This is the automated config manager setup. And it looks like this. This is just all the steps I would normally do manually when I install config manager. And you get all this in the download as well. If I go into my sequences, I have two sequences. The domain controller and the config manager server. So this sequence is actually a sequence that will deploy a full domain controller, create all the domains, and do all that stuff. So this sequence installs and configures Active Directory, installs DHCP and creates a scope, then creates a bunch of users and OUs and stuff, structure in AD, and finally does some house cleaning before it leaves. But short, in 22 minutes, after starting a VM, you have a fully working domain controller, all automated. Same goes with Config Manager. I have a sequence that will build Config Manager. I am using Cumulative Update 5 for the SQL. 4 is supported as well. It's 4 and higher. So any of those will work, but I'm using 5 in the hydration kit. If I look in the sequence, you can see that this sequence will build everything you need for Config Manager, for OSD Config Manager. So it will install Windows Deployment Services, it will install the web server, bits, remote differential compression style, and the reason I do it in this order before installing .NET Framework is to avoid an issue where I have to register the ASP.NET components afterwards. So it's just that's why. Then I have a few sections that install SQL, all the prerequisites, install the enterprise version, the Service Pack 1 update, and then the cumulative update on top of that. And then, as you probably know, in Config Manager, if you have multiple sites, the metadata replication is not being done through files anymore, thankfully. It's being done through database replication. Not the packages themselves, but the information about the packages and collections and all the other stuff. It's going through a database, and you need to open the firewall for it. Because even a secondary site today have a database. And then I also configure SQL Server memory. Because if you don't, you may run into that SQL is suddenly acquiring a bit more resources that you have available on your site server. Especially important if you're running SQL and Config Manager on the same box, which I think is fine if you don't have too many clients. If you start to go into the site systems or sites where you have 25, 30, 35,000 clients, yeah, you probably want to run SQL remote. And then you can have the memory higher on that box for SQL, 70%, for example. But when I run it on the same box, I actually use it to 50%. So I have a script that will read the amount of memory I have and configure to SQL to use half of it. That's what you normally would do in Management Studio manually. And then I have the final pieces that will extend Active Directory for Config Manager. It's not a requirement. It's still the same as in 07, but it's helpful. It really makes sense to have it. I set some AD permissions for the Config Manager server to the Systems Management container, and then I install Config Manager, and I also associate the CM Trace utility, the log viewer, with log files, so they are already available for me. And the only thing you need to do after downloading the zip, filling it with content, it is to actually go in here into the media item and right-click and say update. Because when you do, it will create that giant ISO for you. So if I go to this folder, you can see I have a few. This is my ISO, generated out of the workbench. It's a bootable ISO. So I take a VM. This one will do. I simply mount it on the ISO. Here we go. And I boot it. After about 65 seconds, I will be prompted with an option. Would I like to install the domain controller, or would I like to install the Config Manager server? And a tip for you, start with the domain controller. Allow it to complete and leave it running before starting a second VM and then selecting Config Manager. Config Manager is particularly picky about having a domain. Not for publishing, but it needs to be on a domain member. It won't install if it's not. While this is booting and figuring out that it doesn't have a network because we don't need any right now, it's offline media, the entire configuration of this is in text files. This is light touch deployment. Happens to be the same in Config Manager, but still. In the control folder on my light touch deployment share, my media share, I have a few ini files. They control the environment. So if I look into my domain controller ini file, this is my settings for my domain controller. The IP address, the Active Directory to create, the DHCP scope, all that information is available in a simple ini file. So if you want to change it to match your environment, yeah, update this file and hit update again, and you're good. Same goes with Config Manager, the information for the Config Manager server, and the ini file in the Config Manager app. So all config is simply stored in text files. So we will shortly see it popping up, the Bootstrap wizard, which is sort of a new behavior in NBT 2012. We actually see additional progress while this is loading. In NBT 2010, it was just black at this point. All right, two selections. What to do? Well, pick one. I want to pick this one. I click it, I hit next, head for Starbucks. I'll be back in 22 minutes. So, yeah. Yeah, that's it. We're done. Now, after this one is completed, I will start the second VM, and I will select the ISO again, and I will select the other sequence, of course. And when it's been completed, well, guess what? You have a running Config Manager environment. So I'm just jump forward now about 70 minutes in time. So now I have a ready-made Config Manager server where I can start to do things with it. But to be able to do OSD stuff, we need to have something. We need to have a reference image. Because if you try to take the default Windows 7 media and deploy it through Config Manager 2012, you will find that your Windows installation directory ends up on the D drive, which is most likely where you don't want it to be. You would be surprised to see how many applications that will actually break just because you had it on the D drive. So you need to create a reference image. And I recommend you guys, as a first option, don't use Config Manager to create Config Manager reference images. Use Light Touch to do it. Why? Well, first, it's quicker. It's about twice as fast. And the point is, the image that you get is very compatible. You can use that with anything. You can use that with third-party deployment solutions. You can use that with VMM libraries, the virtual machine manager. You can use it with any deployment solution known to man today. So you don't need to maintain separate reference images anymore. You can take this and dump it directly into VDI solutions, in Hyper-V, directly into VMM, directly into Config Manager, directly into third party, directly into LightTouch, directly into Windows Deployment Services. If you want to run image X-Apply, you can do that too. If you create your reference image in Config Manager, well, guess what? It will add the client into it. And now it's only Config Manager, sort of. It's also very easy to delegate the process of creating a reference image if you do it in LightTouch. Again, the entire solution is in a folder. That's the requirement, a folder. How difficult is it to delegate to Tim here, for example, on the first row to create my reference image? Well, let's see here. I need to find out a way to copy this folder to Tim. So that would be a level 400 session this afternoon on how to copy folders. We start off with RoboCopy. We have XCopy. We have RichCopy. We have Explorer. And in the final 10 minutes, we'll do a summary of it. Now, it's dead easy. Copy the folder, off you go. I don't even need to give Tim access to my Config Manager console if I don't want to. He's not nice guys I normally do, but he normally would, but it's very easy to delegate. And you also get additional features. that are difficult to do with Config Manager alone. And for example, it's quite common that you want to customize the admin profile in the reference image, some type of branding, some type of settings, maybe an application needs to go in there with some settings. And then you can allow Config Manager to copy the admin profile to the default user when Config Manager is pushing out that reference image. If you build reference images in Config Manager, guess what? You don't have an admin profile. Therefore, it's very difficult to have Config Manager copying it. So you normally end up with all these scripts that will inject stuff into the registry at the deployment time of the sequence. But if you build in Light Touch, well, it's faster, quicker, more compliant, more easy to delegate, and you get additional features. And there is one more thing. There is always one more thing. It's very easy to pause a Light Touch sequence if you want to do something manually. I mean, our goal is to have an automated process when we create reference images, fine. But then you have that one app, that one setting that is extremely difficult to automate. You need to do that manually. But rather than to do everything manually, I'd rather just do that step manually. So I simply add a suspend action into the sequence. So the sequence will do what it normally does, abort, allow me to do something manually, I can reboot the machine 10 times, and then I continue, and it will sysprep, and it will capture it, and then I have an image that is ready to be deployed through Config Manager. Okay, so how does this look? Well, as it happens, here we go. I have a workbench with a single folder, my deployment share. In this folder, I've added the Windows 7 operating system. I have just right-clicked and select import. That's step number one. Step number two is creating a sequence. Right-click, new sequence. And there is a wizard, next, 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 finish, and you have a sequence. This sequence is the start to finish action when we start the deployment. So all these steps will be carried on. And if I want to add that pause I talked about, I add it right here as an action. It's a default script, but it's not available by default in the menu. Can be fixed by hacking an XML file, but I think it's just as easy just to add it here. And that will abort the sequence and allow me to continue. So you should always be using virtual machines for your reference images. Never, ever, ever, physical machines, always VMs. I don't care if you're using Hyper-V or VMware, as long as it's any of those two, because they work very well, has been tested by thousands of people out there, proven to be a good image. It's simply as this, an error in a reference image doesn't get smaller because you push it out to 1,000 machines. You want that reference image to be perfect, that golden image. And by using any of these platforms, it will be very well tested. So you start a virtual machine, you have it to pick up the sequence, and it will start the installation, it will install the OS, it will start the patching, and it will pause. What do you do then? You do the manual step, install that special application, and then what? You take a snapshot, then you hit resume. Because that's the beauty of using a VM. We can use snapshots. So later, if I want to revert back, I can quickly do it and do another change, a new snapshot, and continue. So I can now have a hierarchy of versions on my different versions on my reference image where I can very quickly jump back and forth in timing. This is especially critical when you develop your image for the first time, because you may generate that one 40 times, and every hour you can save times 40, it's a lot of hours. Then, when it's tested, when it's working, you normally delete the snapshots, and when you need to generate it, well, you simply do it from scratch. All right. So after creating the sequence, you right-click your deployment share, you select update, you have a 5-minute break because it will create the ISO that will boot the VM, and then you will take and boot a VM on it. On the right network. The right session. And a cool thing about MDT 2012 is actually you don't need to maintain multiple boot images anymore. You can have a single 32-bit one that will create reference images out of everything. XP, server, 32-bit, 64-bit, Windows 7, 2008, even Windows 8 consumer preview, and Windows Server 2012 beta. Can do all that from a single boot image. So it looks and feels exactly as before, but now I'm not using an offline media. I'm simply connecting to my deployment share and reading my settings that I have there. But again, this time I don't have one question, I have two. I need to select my sequence, and I need to select what to do with it. Soon. So I will select my sequence. I wait patiently. Very patiently. There will be another page shortly. Here we go. This is where I specify what to do with it. In this case, I say, I would like you to please capture it to an image when you're done. So it will install the OS, sysprep it, capture it, and store it on my config managed server, ready for being deployed. And of course, if you don't want to have to answer these questions, you can automate this as well. Just going back to the server, go to the deployment share rules, and you will modify the final pieces. Don't ask for sequence. Don't ask for capture. You control the wizard from the server. If you want it to be fully automated, fine. If you want to stop for a few questions, fine. It's you that decides that and controls that. But in the end, we get an image that can be used with Config Manager. So when doesn't it make sense to use LightTouch to create a reference image? Could there be a scenario where I would actually advise you not to use LightTouch, but rather use Config Manager to create it instead? Well, I have a scenario for you. For example, schools, education, university style, they normally have images with a bunch of apps in them, thick images. Corporate enterprises, they normally have thin images. But if you have thick images, and you have all those applications already in Config Manager, I would make sense, I think it makes sense to actually create a reference image in Config Manager instead. Because otherwise, you would have to duplicate all those apps into the LightTouch environment. So for that scenario, I would say it makes sense. What about patching? How do I make sure this image is updated all the time? Well, in LightTouch, you need a WSUS. So you need to have a separate WSUS for the patches that goes into the reference image. It's not that big deal. I normally take my time, 10 minutes, to add it. And then I do the rest of my patching through Config Manager. But if you want to have the exact same patch level, what's the point of maintaining two? Well, then I would probably use Config Manager. But for most part, it ends up being LightTouch because saving hours in the long run, being more flexible. And I can use that image for everything. Right. Let me just glance over the Twitter feed for a while. A Not so many questions. They like the music that I played. All right, fair enough. Keep it for a while. I'll keep it open. It's a long walk. When doing OSD with Config Manager, I also recommend you guys to integrate with LightTouch, with MDT to Config Manager. Because MDT will add about 100 plus enhancements related to OSD specifically on top of Config Manager. It's not using MDT or Config Manager. It's having the Config Manager platform and adding more OSD enhancements on top of it. And out of these 100 plus enhancements, there are three, and obviously these three, that I like the most. For me, MDT enables something called dynamic deployment on top of Config Manager. It allows me to have a single sequence in Config Manager behaving very differently depending on where I install it, to what user, to what department, to what hardware. A lot of variables, a lot of conditions I can use to have that sequence behave differently. For example, I deploy a sequence to a site back home, a site in Sweden. It will automatically get the language pack for Swedish and set the keyboard to Swedish and install the applications, those 25 apps, that the Swedish department of our company is using. But I take the same sequence and deploy it in Vegas. Different language pack, probably non-language pack. Different keyboard layout, different applications. Maybe different OU in Active Directory, maybe even a different domain. I can have all these settings lying outside the sequence, and I will have MDT feed them in at deployment time, making the sequence very dynamic. Companies who do not use the integration, they normally end up having like 25 sequences, where all those settings are more or less hard-coded instead. By enabling MDT, we can be more dynamic and reduce the amount of sequences, reduce the amount of images that we have, which is good. Also with MDT, you get a deployment database, a separate database, SQL, specifically made to store OSD-related settings. For quite frankly, Config Manager doesn't have one. It has a database, yes, but not one that is specifically tailored to deal with OSD settings only. And before start shouting back at me, I know that you can start to create all your variables and stuff, collection variables, resource variables in Config Manager. Yes, you can. But from an OSD perspective, I think it's easier to keep them separate in a small database. And especially since you are allowed to modify that database. You can customize it in any way you want. You are not allowed to customize the Config Manager database. But since they are running on the same server, same instance, it's dead easy to have the MDT database reach out and get stuff from Config Manager or from other systems. You may have an inventory system already where all your machine mounts are already. You can have the database reach out and get that info rather than duplicating it into the database twice. And the third one is rules. Combined with dynamic deployment, you get a development framework with MDT. So instead of writing 400 lines of VB script to do a database call, you do 7. Instead of writing 1,000 lines to call a web service, 2 lines in a text file. There are so many ready-made functions that you can steal and use directly without having to reinvent the wheel. If you guys are consultants, and how many are? Do not pay attention to me at all. Do not listen to what I said. Because that integration will help you get the work done more quickly, meaning less billable hours. Or the option of actually spending the time doing something useful than reinventing the wheel all the time. My request to you guys is that before start developing your own code, download this stuff and see if the thing that you are trying to do is not already in there, because most likely it will be. That's the benefit of having a smaller team doing changes on top of a larger platform. They are more agile, they can do it more quickly, they can add more features into it, and that's what they did. Right. So, we have our reference image, we have our hydration kits, so we have the platform. Now it's time to set up Config Manager to do OS deployment for us. The third thing we need to do is to run the integration. So once you install MDT, if you go to the start menu, you will find an integration script that will simply add a few more menus to the Config Manager console. All right. So you run that once. And then when you open up the console, you will see new items appear on the ribbon bar. And you will see new items appear when you right-click and do things that is not available by default in Config Manager. And they will help you get going with OSD as well in Config Manager. It will help you create all the necessary packages. But to get OSD deployment working, we need to have software distribution working. And the keyword is working. So in Config Manager 12, we actually need to start with some stuff that we need in the background. So we need boundaries. Either or Active Directory or sites, you use IP address ranges these days. You do not use subnets anymore, IP address range. So you define them, or you have Config Manager define them for you. Because if I go back to my domain controller, and I look in Active Directory, and it's difficult to view sites and settings in ADAC. So how about actually starting sites and services? As long as you have specified subnets and associated those subnets with a site, and of course you have service in that site, you can configure Config Manager to just read them ahead. So if you added the subnets in Active Directory or your AD team did that for you, you can just go back to Config Manager, you can go back to Discovery, you can find Forest Discovery, and you can check these boxes. Enable, and off you go, it will read that information and populate it. And the first time I tried Config Manager, one of the early betas, beta 1 back in almost 2 years ago now, I did this, I got the boundaries, all right, had some packages, let's go deploy. Nothing happened. And I like, wow, what's wrong? Well, guess what? You need a boundary group as well. Boundaries in itself is not enough. They need to be added to boundary group. For a boundary group will give you the site assignment, or rather the option of specifying the site assignment so that the clients know where to reach out to. So you need to do that boundary group at least once. Otherwise, deployment will not work. You also need to have a distribution point, obviously. And new in Config Manager is that we can have distribution point groups as well. That actually works. They are dynamic. Meaning, if I add this distribution point to a group, and I target my packages to the group rather than the DP itself, I can later add a new DP into that group, and that DP will automatically get the packages as well. So that's good. So what happens when you delete the distribution point from that group? Will it then delete the packages? No, it will not. You will have to do that manually. It will be quite dangerous otherwise. Whoops. 2,000 packages gone. But adding, it's fine. On the DP itself, this is on the same as the site service. I don't have that option. But in any other DP remote from my site server, you will find a new tab up here that is also available on the site servers, secondary site servers. Very useful for OSD. Bandwidth control. You don't need any more secondary site servers to control replication of your packages to those remote DPs. You can do that on the DP directly. And that, together with the new content library, will make sure that you don't need as many servers, and you especially don't need that much traffic on the WAN link itself. Quite useful. Microsoft also added Pixie here. You remember my sequence installed Windows Deployment Services? But isn't it so if I would enable this, wouldn't Config Manager install Windows Deployment Services for me in addition to its own provider? Yes, it would. So why did I add it to my sequence? Simplicity. I think it's quite nice to do the base configuration of Windows Deployment Services without involving Config Manager. Just make sure the service starts. Because if it doesn't, I can't complain to Config Manager. And the troubleshooting is more easy. I have to deal with it as a plain Windows Deployment Service. So I normally install it beforehand, even if you don't technically have to. Config Manager will do it for you. And this thing, this change of putting the Pixie on the DP itself, changes the limitation we had in the past, which I'm very sure all of you would run into. What limitation am I talking about? Yeah, exactly. You could only have 75 Pixie servers per site. That had to be a problem for most of you. Not really. But now they have removed that limit. The largest number I've heard so far is 400, so I figured 100 should be safe. Most customers don't have that many Pixie servers, at least not running on servers. So it's now something you simply enable on the DP, and that also means when you troubleshoot this, I have a session on Thursday where I do deep dive into troubleshooting of this, but there is one log file you should know about. Since this is a distribution point, you will troubleshoot it as a distribution point. And for that, this is the man. This is the log file to look for. When you're enabling Pixie, and when you're enabling your boot images to do Pixie. So I go to my distribution point. I have all my sequences, but deployment will not work because you also need to go to the boot image itself, and you need to enable Pixie. It's not until you do this, until Config Manager will copy that boot image into the Windows Deployment Services installation folder, the remote install folder, and it's not until you do this, until it's actually extracting the netboot files from it. And those are required for Pixie to boot. That means if you tick the distribution point, if you tick the checkbox on the boot image, you should have in your remote install folder, in the SMS boot subfolder, in the 32-bit one, you should have 5 files. If you don't, machines that advertise themselves as 32-bit, they will not Pixie boot. And the same thing goes with 64-bit. 6 files that needs to be here. If they are not here, you will try to Pixie boot a client, and it will just hang. You will just see dots, 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 dots coming, even if you did everything else right. So just simply make sure those files are in there. And this is also the reason why I always add, and recommend you guys to add, 2 boot images. We will only use this one for deployment. This one is just for Pixie. Just so that Config Manager can get the files so that machines that are 64-bit capable can boot from it, and then get the 32-bit boot image. So for all my sequences that I have, doesn't matter if it's Windows 7 64-bit or Windows XP 32-bit, I use the same boot image. because it's much easier for me to maintain a single boot image than multiple boot images. So I mentioned before I was creating reference images in LightTouch. If you need to do that with Config Manager, you need to add them as an installer. This is right here. So you add the entire DVD when adding the installer here. And then you can use Config Manager to create reference images too. All right. So can you tell me what's the difference between doing light touch deployments and doing Config Manager deployments? Well, except for the Config Manager platform, obviously. Well, it happens to be that if you start to do light touch stuff, you accidentally learn to do Config Manager stuff. Let me show you. Configuration of a light touch deployment solution. I go into this folder, I found this file, and I edit it. That's light touch. Config Manager, and hold your horses, another folder with the same file. They are using the same processes, same scripts, same rules engine to work with. All right, come back to that in a minute. When we create sequences, when we use the LightTouch, the MDT wizard to create them, it will not only create them, it will allow me to create all the necessary packages as well with it. So to create a sequence, you simply run through this wizard. If you don't have the packages already, you have the option to create them as part of that wizard. And when you do, finally, you have a sequence. And you need to distribute all those packages that were created. And in Config Manager 7, the thing that you needed to do was to locate all those packages, wherever they were in the console, and add a DP to them. Now, I can go to my sequence directly. I can say right-click, I can say distribute content, select the DP, and it will add all the packages to that DP at the same time. I have started to count the number of times I have started a deployment, and it breaks. Package ID X is missing. All right, need to go back to the server, add a DP, and try again. This is to avoid to do that. So, for example now, the default sequence that I created, a sequence that will deploy Windows 7 here. Will this sequence configure BitLocker for you, volume encryption, if you have a nice edition of Windows 7, meaning enterprise, and you have the hardware ready for it? Because as you probably know, BitLocker requires a password in BIOS and the TPM chipset to be turned on. So will the default sequence enable BitLocker? The default sequence, keyword is default here. The answer would be no. And why do you think that is? I have an idea. It's disabled by default. All right. What if I go in and enable this one? And enable in Config Manager, you do by selecting the right action and clearing the disabled step. It's a bit odd way, but that's how you do it. And now you can see it turns green. Beautiful. Check. Now, will my sequence configure BitLocker, assuming my hardware is ready for it and I'm using the right OS for it? Yes or no? How many up for yes? None. All right. Of course, it won't work. Why? Conditions. I mentioned dynamic deployments before. And me and a good friend, Michael, we have an entire session on that on Thursday. This is just a sneak preview. But most of the actions in this sequence They have conditions on them. And this specific action has the following conditions. To run only if the following are true. Meaning, for example, that this one is not equals yes. Has to be true for this to run. And now I need to go back to my text file. Oh, darn. It was set to true. So now I can see I can use the rules engine to control the behavior of my sequence. So if I wanted to do a quick test of a machine, I can add MAC address in here. And I can try to find an English keyboard. Here we go. Ah, there we go. And this is a fake MAC address. By changing a few simple text files or text lines, I'm changing the behavior of the sequence. I can say, if this is a virtual machine, don't bother, because VMs cannot run BitLocker anyway. Or I can say, for this department, for this hardware, for this model, enable this, instead of doing it for all the machines. So we can now build rules that are dynamic that will control our deployments. And the same goes for most of the other actions in here. They are depending on something. I guess you learned by now that in Config Manager, we have applications these days. Packages still work, but we also have applications. What we can use the MDT integration for is to create lists of applications that we tell the sequence to deploy. So in the easiest way, I can do it in the text file alone. I can start to say that, for example, packages 001 is supposed to be this ID and the package name, install reader. And another package, install office. Simply adding a few text lines and it will behave differently now. The sequence will now go ahead and install those applications and these packages. Same goes with applications. 001. And then you only specify the actual patient name and not the package ID anymore. So now I'm also deploying two legacy packages and one Config Manager app as part of my deployment. Still the same sequence. I mean, I could go to the sequence as well, and I can go into applications, and I can say, go ahead and pull applications from Config Manager, or I can have it dynamically. The difference is now in Config Manager 12, for packages, Microsoft is using a 3-digit list. For applications, they're using a 2-digit list. And I know that the MDT developers were on their, not maybe knees, but close, begging for having identical lists for packages and apps. But no. Apps are using 2 digits. So what they wrote was a script that will convert the list you put in into 2 digits. And that also means you can only add 100 applications per sequence per install application action. If you need more than 100, add more of these. And you can have more than 100. Point is, you're not supposed to anymore. We will see a trend where organizations are, oddly as it may sound, will allow users, end users, to actually pick and select stuff they want on their machines. Today, most of you, I guess, are deploying on a per-machine basis. Because in Config Manual 7, if I target 10 apps to Tim, well, Tim actually have to log on to the machine and then have a really long coffee break before Tim's apps are installed. In Config Manager 2012, we have the user device affinity, and I can use that with OSD as well. But those applications are not going into the sequence. So these are only the applications that need to go on our computer. So my question to you, what if I would target all 50 apps to a user? Would I need to have any app in my sequence at all? The answer is, it depends. If you are using the migration tools, the user state migration tools, to migrate settings for apps, you better put those apps in the sequence. It will not be all of your apps, but it will be some, because the restore of those settings is happening after, if I can select the right one, is after the apps are installed. So if you are migrating settings, don't target those per user. Still target those per sequence. They need to be installed before the restore is done. Otherwise, you will run into that the installation actually will overwrite stuff that you have in that setup. So what else do we need? We need apps, we need packages, and we need drivers. I just came from a session dealing exclusively with drivers. Me and Michael Neal spent 75 minutes of it on drivers. How many of you attended that session? A good few of you. I will now do the 4-minute version of it. Now, it will take at least 5, actually. Now, the deal is, we don't need to worry about drivers at all for our reference images. They are built into virtual machines. They will have all your drivers already. The rare exception is if you still deploy XP, you may need to add a few, or at least clean out the device manager before sysprepping it. But that's it. You need to worry about drivers inside the Config Manager console. And as I said in my previous session, in Config Manager 12, yes, you have to import them these days. You cannot simply create the driver packages, as I'm sure many of you used to do in Config Manager 7. It's not a big deal. It just takes more time to do it. But it's not without benefits. Importing the drivers will give you validation of the driver. And of course, having the driver in the repository allows you to search for things. Search for things that is not only about the driver itself, but it can also be supported models and what type of package it is that is actually using that particular driver. So we can use the new search capabilities in the console to quickly find drivers related to a specific model. And for this to work, you need to import drivers and tag them accordingly. So in my folder structure, I always have something like this. This is my source. So I have it per OS, and then I have it per model. And under each model, I will have, you know, audio, chipset, and video, and all that stuff. And I will also have a folder if I was still doing XP. So this is my source. And I will import drivers from that folder structure. So I will right-click, I will go import drivers, and I try to type. Here we go. Select an OS, select a machine, select audio, for example, save some time, and now I tag it. I will go to categories, and I will tag it with that model, and if that model is not available, I will go ahead and create it. You can have any tag you want. just make sure to use one that you actually remember and can work with. I normally like something that tells me about the OS deploying it and the model name, but that's just me. If you want to create the tags for blue, yellow, and green, go ahead. It works too. So I tag the driver, and then I add it to one or more packages where this driver is going to be. And then I hit next and next, and it will import the driver and add it. So now we will start to do tagging exclusively in Config Manager 0.12. This you did not have to do in 0.7. It was an option, but now you have to do it. Because when we have that tagging, we are creating packages. So in this case, I have created a bunch of packages for a few different models that I have. And the reason I do this is because in Config Manager, the default behavior in your sequence is not to use them. The sequence by default will simply do a sort of a best effort. It will look among all your drivers from all categories and through plug and play try to figure out if this one will work or not. If it does, everything is fine. If it doesn't, well, you have troubleshooting to do. I normally do another approach. I normally go ahead and I will disable this step. And instead, I would add in my packages directly, because that's the second option we have in Config Manager 0.12 to deal with drivers. Still. So I will assign the package. I will select the package. I will give it a name. And I will add a condition for this package. There you go, my friend. Add a condition. Like this. Something that uniquely identifies this hardware as this specific to this specific package. And then I will copy and paste. I will select another package. Change the name. Whoops. And I will change the condition. And I will continue to do this until I've added all my 25, 30, 40 packages or so into this list. And as I said in the previous session, not all vendors are created equal. Not all drivers are created equal. And not all conditions will be working the same as you would expect. So for example, for Lenovo, who has a very interesting way, I was polite, to do model names. This is a Lenovo model name. This one will be different if it's a Danish keyboard. Because obviously you need a different driver if it's a Danish keyboard than a Swedish keyboard. I mean, the labels on the buttons are different. No, you don't. So for Lenovo, you normally look for the first four. And if we have any hardcore Lenovo fans in the audience, they know this already. They know every model number there is, the first four of them. But for the rest of us, I may recommend actually using version. Because that will actually tell you, all right, this is a ThinkPad T420. And guess what? If you look at the machine, it will say that too. Matching. Surprise. So for Lenovo's, I would rather use a different condition. I would ask the product version containing ThinkPad instead. And Panasonic, for example, they also have a similar thing with their models. But they also have a short model, which is better to use for Panasonic. So I'll use that one instead if I have Panasonic machines. The thing is, you can often find something that will point the system out to you, allowing you to create the condition so that that package, those drivers are being injected, but only for that model. And this makes it very, very easy to troubleshoot stuff when dealing with drivers. Because it means if I target a list of 20 drivers to go into this piece of hardware, if one of them is faulty or I need to update the driver for the machine, I can simply update the driver in that package. And I only need to retest this box again. If I'm using the default method, where I have all my drivers into a giant repository, I need to retest everything I have, because I don't know if that driver broke something for me. And if these guys don't give you enough, I mentioned this morning I was visiting a company in Chicago. They had almost 300 models. Some of them were very special built. There was no brand. There was no Lenovo Dell HP that was built. You can use often a combination of hardware items found on them. 546. All right, if that hardware is present, I know it's that type of machine. And I can use that as a condition as well. That's something I normally use for storage controllers, but can be used for to identify a model as well, or a classification of a model as well. More comments than packages, I see. Here's one. Chris Nackers, are you here? Somewhere, apparently. He asks if AutoApply works with USB, DVD, and Config Manager 2012. You still need to use driver packages for all type of offline media. It needs to know what packages that will be stored on that offline media. And unfortunately, AutoApply doesn't give you that. And you still also use packages for XP stuff if you want to do storage in there. So with that, I would like to leave you guys with the following. Start playing with this stuff. Get the kit, get Config Manager up and running. Try to remember to fill in the evals. And as always, be honest but gentle. And thank you for taking your time.